Got at it from here. I've got to move around, or wait until it moves.
The Cottonmouth was becoming uneasy. The mangled remains of the burrow, one bloodied eye staring up at the sun, were completely forgotten. Another layer curled about Abe's legs, squeezing more tightly. The head of the enormous snake was sliding toward him, the incurious little eyes staring blankly at its prey. Abe was utterly frozen, as if he had been soaked in a deep, dark pool of Sierra meltwater. It was only with the greatest effort of will that he managed to stay upright. Out of the corner of his eye, he could just make out the blurred shape of the armorer, sunshine flashing off his glasses, sliding around to the left, lower on the slope, the scattergun held at his waist. Now the snake was rearing up, holding itself erect, so that its swaying head was almost at the same height as Abe's. The snake's mouth was less than a yard away, and Abe could taste the carrion corruption of the creature's cool breath.
Can you move your feet at all, Abe?
Abe was too petrified to answer, contenting himself with the slightest movement of his head from side to side, hoping that JB had spotted it.
All right. When I say to move, then I want you to try and throw yourself onto your back. Only chance I'll have of a good clear shot at it without taking your head off as well. Just sort of nod if you understand me.
Abe nodded. To his mounting horror, he realized that the mutie Cottonmouth was actually hypnotizing him, the rhythmic movement of its head and upper body making Abe feel utterly helpless, lulling him so that he no longer felt too worried about being killed by it. The snake was aware of JB's slow, cautious flanking movement, its eyes following him. It made a fainting lunge toward the armorer, causing him to react instinctively, stumbling away, his boots slipping in the muddied grass. Abe realized that if JB hadn't managed to recover himself, he could easily have tumbled 500 feet down the steep wall of the canyon.
Dark night.
JB nearly dropped the Smith & Wesson M4000 in the dirt, the Uzi dangling from its shoulder strap. Abe became aware that he'd been holding his breath for so long, he was in danger of passing out. He sucked in some of the moist air, tasting the closeness of the great snake. Its patterned scales were rustling around his legs.
Ready, Abe. Any minute.
Now JP had worked his way around so that he was almost directly behind the mutie creature, bringing the scattergun to his shoulder and bracing himself in the soft ground. If JB pulled the trigger before Abe threw himself flat, then the murderous little flechette would rip his head off his shoulders. The Cottonmouth was becoming more and more agitated. Its shovel-shaped skull swayed faster and faster, its eyes blinking, its forked tongue darting in and out more quickly. Its jaws gaped open only inches from Abe's face, and he could see the tiny translucent pearls of poison clinging to the tip of each of the two large hooked teeth.
Now, Abe!
The tight coils of the snake, wrapped around Abe's ankles, made any sort of movement difficult, but Abe managed it, throwing himself clumsily backward, breaking his fall with his hands. His vision was filled with the great head of the Cottonmouth looming over him, striking down toward his face. Abe closed his eyes, his arms raised in a futile attempt to deflect the attack. There was a sudden spray of warm liquid as the muscular coils about his lower legs contracted with unbelievable force. The first round from the 12-gauge had very nearly missed the lightning-fast strike of the mutie killer. Of the 20 Remington flechettes in each of the 8 shells, only 4 had actually struck the snake, a handspan below its skull. The inch-long needle-tipped dart sliced a chunk from the scaled flesh, making the Cottonmouth rear up. It turned toward the source of the noise and its pain, its helpless prey temporarily forgotten. The range was so close that it seemed as if the muzzle of the M4000 were touching the dusty, blood-speckled scales. There was no time for the darts to star out, striking as a compacted mass of slicing, piercing death. JB took a half dozen rapid, careful steps back, making sure that he kept his footing in the slippery mud. He brought a third round under the hammer, watching the pitching agony of the giant reptile. The darts had torn out a huge wound, much larger than a man's fist, about 4 feet below the questing head. It had broken the endless spine and opened up the breathing and digestive tracts of the creature. For Abe, still pinned and totally helpless on his back, there was a moment of dreadful, crushing pain, and the thought that he would have his legs pulped in the Cottonmouth's death throes. But the coils relaxed, and he managed to scrabble away.
Again! Give that fucker another couple of rounds, JB!
No need. It's done for. Just keep clear of it.
There was terminal brain damage as all the neural lines of communication went down for the Cottonmouth. It was kicking up a great spray of wet mud and grass, biting itself, the poison fangs snapping off short, spurting the venom in a glittering arc of blinding beads. JB turned away, feeling a few tiny spots land on the skin of his face, patterning his spectacles. The ichor burned like acid, and JB stooped, cupping water and splashing it on the poison, diluting it and washing the worst of it away. The snake had plowed up the hollow, turning it into a quagmire of soft mud. Gradually, as its movements began to slow, it started to slide down the hillside toward the brink of the steeper drop, high above the distant river. Bright blood still gushed from the two wounds, and its jaws were opening and closing in a series of mindless spasms. Abe struggled to his feet, slipping and nearly falling.
It's going over! The bastard's going right over!
Then, the creature was gone. Both men stepped carefully and looked over, watching the last moments of the creature as it dropped several hundred feet, finishing in a cloud of dust on a ledge close above the river, where it lay quite still.
Oh, that's it. Thanks a lot, friend. I thought I was ace on the line for snake supper.
JB touched his face.
That poison stings like a bastard. Let's get up on top and try and find some good water. Could do with a proper wash and something to drink. Dry as a scorpion stingery.
Patches of thick conifers rimmed the canyon, mainly spruce and larch, with a number of taller ponderosa pines. There was no sign of any real trails, though it wasn't difficult for the men to make their way southward along the edge. Abe stooped to rub at his sore ankles.
And there's that ruined building. Smoke out the chimney. Could maybe go and take a look.
Why not?
JB found his water a quarter mile along, where the trees had thinned out, showing the glint of a large, reed-lined pool. A heron, disturbed from its fishing, flapped its stately way into the air, flying away inland.
Could have shot it.
With the scatter gun or the Uzi? Can't say either of them are the best weapons for going wildfowling. That place is occupied. Don't want to let them know we're in the area. Not until we're ready for that.
Abe flopped down and drank from the cool water, cupping it to his face. The armorer was more cautious. He stood still and took a good 360 look around the open clearing before taking off his stained fedora and placing his glasses neatly on top of it.
Skin flames where the poison got sprayed on it. Come out in a rash.
Abe turned and stared at it.
Yeah, kind of little whiteheads with sore red places around them. Give them a real good washing, JB.
The armorer winced as the icy water bathed the spots, running down his neck inside his collar.
Better. Cooled him some.
He was kneeling down, leaning over the small lake, when he straightened.
Black dust.
What?
Look, the surface... It's another...
The pool was rippling, as though a strong wind had gusted across it. But there wasn't more than the lightest breeze. Abe stood up and felt the earth begin to shift beneath his combat boots.
Oh, quake!
It could be an aftershock.
The armorer snatched up his spectacles and his beloved hat. He straightened, rocking to his left at a severe jolt. Then he heard the same noise far below them, like a procession of subterranean war wags. Somewhere on the far side of the lake, they saw one of the tallest of the pines suddenly start to fall, crashing down, its top splashing into the water. A beaver broke from cover under the bank to their left and started to swim across the rippling pool. There was an explosive gout of mud and bubbles, and the beaver vanished. JB and Abe looked at each other, waiting for the quake to subside. Duck Tanner was conscious of the cold, northerly wind blowing up his bare ass and the shuffling of Judas in the undergrowth. But most of all, he was aware of the attractive middle-aged woman who lay naked next to him.
Out beyond the darkness, there are no stars.
How's that, Doc?
Oh, forgive me, my dear lady. I was not aware that I had put my thoughts into words.
Sounded like a poem.
My poor brain is so filled to overflowing with half-remembered quotes and memories that I could no longer distinguish